Hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode 106. I'm Emily McDermott, and I am here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. Raise your hand, unless you're driving, if you have ever been triggered by your kids. I am raising two hands, probably because I have two boys, and never knew I was an angry person until I became a mom. And today, we're having a very vulnerable conversation with Natalie Hickson all about destructive anger, taming our triggers, and overcoming that negative thought spiral of shame that comes after maybe we say things that we regret to our children. And Natalie is a wife, mother, auntie, and certified professional life coach who helps discouraged Christian moms overcome destructive anger and burnout. And she tells a lot about her story, about how she's been able to learn to process anger in a healthy way. And now she helps other moms with that by helping them process their anger, learn to identify their triggers, and ultimately control their reaction to those triggering situations. So she loves hanging out with her husband, Mike, and their three daughters in Bozeman, Montana. And she enjoys recharging with Jesus coffee and adventures with her family, which I love. So I hope that you really enjoy this chat, that you learn more about yourself. And if nothing else, know that you are not alone if you are getting triggered constantly by your kids. So what do you say? Grab the notebook and pen and let's dive into today's conversation with Natalie Hickson. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Moms Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, two kids later, I've transformed my life and motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Hi, Natalie. Thank you so much for coming on the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast. I am really thrilled to talk to you today.
Yay. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. You and I were just talking about how I never thought I was an angry person until I became a mom.
I hear that so many times.
You hear all the time. Yeah. And I feel like overwhelm and lashing out in anger, you know, whether it be our spouses or our kids or anyone really, it's so inextricably linked. And so when we're kind of having that overwhelm, and then, you know, for me, it was always the anger and then the immediate shame that comes after the anger that's really defined certain parts of my parenting journey. So I am really excited because I know that the listeners are going to gain so much from this conversation. And I would love it if you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your family, how you serve women, and maybe something you like to do in your free time, if you have any, when you're not doing those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So my husband and I are high school sweethearts. We've been together, oh my goodness, I think it's 26 or 7 years this year, including dating. We have three girls. We live in Bozeman, Montana. Our oldest is 20 and she's in college in Tennessee for the second year right now. Our middle is 16 and our youngest is 13. So we are in the throes of teenager and young adulthood, and it's a wild ride, but it's actually so cool to be able to walk through the challenges and grow through them, not just as myself, but also with them. And that's really, you know, I'll just drop the first little gold nugget, is looking at challenges instead of the worst thing ever, or this makes me a terrible human. It's more of, what am I learning from this challenge and where am I going to grow? And also, if I blew it with my kids, how are my kids going to how are they going to grow through this as well. So yeah, let's see. What do I like to do for fun? I like to ski in the winter, hike in the summer, and travel when we can and read.
Lovely. Yes, I
Yeah.
am a winter skier also, although I must
Yeah.
say that East Coast skiing is a little bit different.
I've heard I've actually never skied outside of my area, which we've got
Why would
three
you?
major, yeah, big ski areas. Why would we do it?
Yeah,
So
you're
someday
not missing
maybe.
anything. Yeah. So, well, I would love it if you could, especially given the work that you do and helping moms, you know, overcome this destructive anger. I would love it if you could bring us back to a time in your motherhood when you felt completely overwhelmed. This could be recently, this could be kind of what led up to the work that you do, but just sort of what was that catalyst for you realizing that something needed to change? And then what were you able to do to kind of make those shifts based upon that overwhelm feeling? And like you said, kind of those feelings of shame that we were talking about. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Unlike many people, but like many, I will just say, I don't know what the split is there, but I actually grew up in a household where there was destructive anger, and I'll define that in a few minutes. But I learned it. It was kind of modeled to me. This is, we yell, we throw things, we slam doors when we're upset. When I got married, I married someone who had a completely opposite experience in his house. They avoided conflict. They tried not to get into it. And maybe there's even a little more manipulation or passive aggressiveness. I think that's what really comes out in a household that's not as like loud destructively, right? That was where we both came into our marriage. I remember our first few fights. I was yelling and screaming at him when we moved in together after getting married. And I'm like, why aren't you yelling at me? And he's like, I just don't do that. And he didn't. He would actually withdraw, get really quiet, and shut down. So I started to see there was this big difference between how I was reacting and how he was. And I remember even feeling afraid of having kids because of how I reacted to him. Obviously, it didn't stop me. We had Enya, our oldest. And about the time she was 2 years old, that's where like things got real, real. And I always like to preface this. This is not pretty. This is very ugly. This is scary what I'm about to talk about. And I do not at all condone this type of behavior. And this is where I like to share this with moms who are actually experiencing this because it's a very scary place to be. And you can get to this place where you're not sure that there's any help for you. And if anybody knows, they'll take your kids away. So just like to give a little heads up. But I was in a very, very abusive place with Enya. I would scream, yell. You'd see us both throwing tantrums on the floor. I would leave bruises on her arm, little handprints on her butt. I would threaten her. It was a very, very scary time. And my husband would try to step in when he was there. He worked 12-hour days, so it was really at night when he'd come home. He'd try to step in, but when he would step in, I'd get even more scary with him, even physical with him. So it was, needless to say, a very destructive time. And it was hard because I am a Christian, and I would go to sleep at night praying, just asking, Lord, please stop this. I don't want to be this way. It wasn't something I wanted to be, but I would get to a place where I just completely check out, and I would come back into realizing, like, what did I just do? Zero self-control with it. But I would wake up the next morning and something would set me off, and here we go again. And it wasn't like screaming at her 24 hours a day. It was just the things, something would trigger me, and then we couldn't work it out, and I didn't know how, didn't have the tools, and we would be in it again. Fast forward, we had her sister Skye, and it was about 3.5 years later. I remember nursing Skye one night, and Enya was throwing an epic tantrum. Her tantrums were epic because mom hadn't helped her figure out how to work through them yet. I was in a room with the door shut, and Enya and Mike were down the hall in another room. And I just hear Enya getting more and more loud. And as she's getting louder, I'm getting more and more angry. And I'm nursing Skye. And all of a sudden, I just let out this huge, Enya, shut up, go to bed, listen to your dad, something like that. And screaming at the top of my lungs. Enya couldn't hear me. But Skye stopped nursing. She looks up at me with this tiny little horrific baby face and just starts wailing. And I was like, this has to end. And since I can't obviously fix myself, we need to get Enya help. And so we took Enya to a therapist. And after the therapist spent a little time with Enya, she met with us and she said, Enya was perfectly normal for her age and development. Natalie, you're the one who needs to be in here. And I was like, wait, what? But honestly, it was the best thing that happened to me. I really believe in my faith, I felt like the Lord brought me to that moment. And it was so freeing to feel like, wow, somebody's telling me they can help me and that maybe I can change. And so I went through therapy for 4 years. I learned a lot about me, learned a lot about my family history. That was really important. Yet I did leave therapy still having a pattern of some destructive behavior. So I would still yell at my kids. I still might slam doors. I still might get a little scary. It had started to ease as I was going through therapy, but I still had those patterns. And it just really took more growth and time. And then honestly, it was when I started coaching moms. I actually started out being a life coach trying to help moms organize and balance life, got onto a podcast, ended up talking about my anger story on that. And it was after that I started helping moms. And as I was coaching moms, it kept me more accountable. And I just felt like the Lord was providing me some more insight on how to help them through their challenges. And so through all of that, I continued to see more growth in my destructive behavior to the point where I'm not perfect. I might still have mis make mistakes today, but I can tell you it is a completely different place today than it was back then. And now I have the tools and resources on how do I work through this in a healthier way. And I'll just tell you real quick where Enya and I at today. I went down with her to pack her up from college last year and bring her home. I was there for 2 weeks to watch some of her performances. She's in music. And I asked her, I'm like, hey, I don't want to get into your space. I want to make sure I'm protecting, your boundaries and everything since I'm here. And she's like, Mom, having you here lowers my stress level. Like, you are not in my way. And I was just like, I still can't do that without getting emotional. That wasn't the case when she was two, right? I was totally stressing her out. And so the fact that us being faithful and walking forward and working on how to overcome these things and doing what we can and learning how to take those challenges and make them growth moments, you will be rewarded for your work in it. So I just had to make sure that you hear where the beginning and the end start.
Oh no, that's so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing. And I resonate a lot with that. My husband, he didn't work as long as yours did, but it would be he would come home. And I write poetry sort of as a side thing, but I write a lot of poetry about motherhood and just sort of processing motherhood. And he would come in and he'd say, "How was your day?" And he would just look at my eyes and he would know. Like he would know how my day was, but he wouldn't know all of it, right? He wouldn't necessarily know that I had held on to my kids' arms so hard that they're saying, "Ow, mommy, that hurts," you know? And sometimes I couldn't, until they went to sleep, be able to actually verbalize that part of it. But he could just tell from my face, like, that things had happened that I was really, really ashamed of. And the same thing, you wake up the next day and today's going to be different. Today's going to be different. And sure enough, there's the trigger, because the trigger are the things that we cannot control. I mean, that's an external trigger. We can, and I want to get into that a little bit more with you as far as like the trigger side of it, but we can pray, we can tell ourselves, like, this, I can handle this. I can get through a day without yelling at my kids. And then something happens. And for me, I know there's supposed to be this pause, like this space between the action and the reaction. But for me, it felt, until I kind of worked through it, it felt like a split second. It felt like the physical reaction to what was happening was instantaneous. And so I was like, well, how am I supposed to find this magical space between the action of, like, let's just say my kid hitting me and me reacting? Like, so I find that to be really fascinating to be able to work through it, especially since most of us, even if we did grow up in a household that had anger, that that was how things were dealt with, we don't get training like as moms before we become moms. Like, this is what you do if you are angry. Like, no one tells us what to do. Maybe you should start working with pregnant moms.
I know, right?
Give them like a heads up. But I would love it if you could just kind of talk to us about, like, if a mom is in the space where you're at, even if it's not to the degree, which I appreciate you sharing, honestly, kind of where you were at, but even if it's just snapping at your kids, you know, yelling more than she would like, having your children look at you with that fear in their eyes, where do you start? Like, what are some tangible tactical steps that we can take in order to start recognizing and then overcoming some of these anger issues?
Yeah. Well, let me first of all start off with, what is that difference that I talk about between destructive anger and normal anger? And we all feel anger, and it's okay to feel that emotion. Often we'll feel bad that we're just feeling angry, and we all need to express our anger, just like we express tears with sadness, laughing with joy. Let's see, fear, we get that fear response, right? We might shake or get a stomach ache, whatever it is. Anger also produces a physical reaction, and if we try to suppress it, that's one of those places that things can go wrong, right? And so I'll get into how to deal with that in a second, but the destructive anger is really where we're using our anger to control a situation, to protect ourselves. It's hurting a relationship between us and another person, and it usually manifests in ways like screaming, in rage, belittling, threatening, physical abuse, throwing things. I remember leaving my house in rage. Like, Mike would get home, I'd get my key and be like, I'm done. And I fly out of there, like driving unsafe. Just all those type of things, those little behaviors, passive aggressiveness. If we're not destructive, like in a loud way, we might be passive aggressive. And we might be snarky. We might do silent treatments and just giving a reaction to turning our back, not communicating whatsoever. So there's that type of behavior is where we're using destructive behavior. Normal anger, we're a little frustrated. We might raise our voice to get our kids' attention. We will have to like let an audible. I'll tell moms, like, it's okay. You need to release that anger. Tell everybody, all right, we're all really upset right now. Let's just roar like lions. We have little kids. Or, you know, I have clients who will do that with their kids, and they're just like, then it's not scary. Like, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just releasing this like energy, right? Just yesterday, I was really upset with my dog. We have a Doberman we just adopted. Don't want to get upset with a Doberman, but I was starting to lose my patience and I'm really getting upset. So I just like put her in her crate and I calmly walked out to the garage and I went to the recycling pile and I just stomped on a box and threw a plastic bottle across the garage, right? That does not hurt anybody, hurt anything. In fact, it helps my husband because I'm crushing boxes for the recycle bin. So, and you can have your kids do the same thing. If you are upset, go crush cans, go beat down boxes. So releasing your energy is okay. And having to have, you know, some of that frustration or getting a little loud to get your kids' attention without threatening them, without telling them that they're bad kids, that's normal mom anger, right? Or normal just frustration. So there's the difference there. How do we work through that in the heat of the moment, right? So part of it is learning to have awareness around those things, especially the major triggers. Major triggers typically for moms are getting out of the house, trying to go to bed, those type of things. There's other stuff that is like kids fighting. So I have a trigger tracker. Anyone listening can go download on my site. I know you have the link. And basically what it does is it makes us sit down and really look at, why am I getting triggered in this moment? And I like moms to fill this out after they've calmed down, give it some space from when they've been triggered. Otherwise you're just doing it when you're angry and it's not really, it's processing, but it's not the point. The point is to take a bird's eye view and go, what was going on for me? How did I react? What was going on for them? What were our needs that weren't being met in that moment? And the most important one to me is, how do I want this to look like in the next time I deal with this situation? So then what we're doing is we walk into the situation again with a little more awareness and a little more clarity. It doesn't mean that we're immediately going to stop after filling out that trigger tracker, but you're going to walk into it with more clarity and like you're going to hear yourself and be like, oh, I did that. Are they hungry? Maybe they're hungry, or oh, I'm hormonal right now, right? So we're giving more awareness to it. And then in that moment, I have a thing where an acronym, sit and pee. And so it's stop, inhale, tune in, and pray. And so you stop and separate. If you can, if you can't leave the room, try to just take a movement. So if you're sitting on the couch, get up and walk across the room. Do something to kind of get your body moving. Inhale, take that deep inhale, deep breath. That calms our nervous system. Tune in. It's okay that I'm angry. It's okay, I'm feeling this way. Why am I feeling this way? What's going on for me? What's going on for them? And then, if you can, pray. And I usually pray for strength, just not patience. I just say, hey, can I need strength and wisdom for walking through this, right? It can be a 30-second thing the more you practice that. And it's just basically, if you've heard of anyone else talking about anger, it's the same thing as just a reset. We're resetting in the moment. Do something, take some type of action to reset, take a deep breath, and try to help yourself calm down. And through that, and if you need to, go to the recycling bin or something like that. Through that, it's also those trigger trackers, like giving yourself some time to process these major triggers. Another thing that can happen in all of this is we're spiraling. We're starting to think negative thoughts. We're starting to feel the overwhelm from those negative thoughts. We start to belittle ourselves, belittle our kids, our parenting. And so, what I tell my mamas in that situation is, I want you to, in that moment where you're taking a deep breath, I want you to think, what's productive and responsible right now? I'm really feeling angry. Try to diffuse the situation. Change up what you can if you need to have the kids move to do something different. But whatever it is, the first thing in your mind, what's productive and responsible? Because negative thoughts are destructive, right? Productive thoughts can be positive, but they can also be just literally in the moment. Like, I need to think about what I'm doing right now. I'm walking to the kitchen. I've seriously practiced this. I would speak out loud what I was doing, and I might look or sound silly in the moment, but man, it just kept me focused on staying out of the negative spirals. I'm making my bed, I'm pulling my sheet up, I'm fluffing my pillow, and it just kind of helped me get out of this spiral, and it was productive and responsible, right? So those are things that we want to be watching for, because that, yeah, those negative thoughts will really get us to spiral and get us into overwhelm very, very quickly. That a
Yeah,
lot.
this
Where are
is
you at right now?
wonderful. No, this is fantastic. And I had a couple different sort of examples from my own life that kind of came to mind. One is that one of my triggers is I ask my children what they want me to make them for dinner, and then I go make the thing that they asked for, and then they come up to eat and they say, "Well, we didn't want that."
Oh no.
And it
Yes.
drives me absolutely nuts. And one of the things I did, I actually have like a dry erase sleeve where I have like a menu of like their favorite things, and I have them actually like pick things from the menu, which has helped. But sometimes inevitably, like something is, too hot. It's very Goldilocks, too hot, too cold, not cut right, whatever. And I look at my husband and I'm just like, this is what 15 years of marriage will do. I look at him and I'm like, okay. And that's like the tap out look. I'm like, okay. And I go upstairs and I have my 5 minutes and I'm able to proactively do that. But sometimes when I'm alone, back when my youngest was in preschool, it was just us. Something would happen. We'd have some sort of, whatever. And I felt like I needed to escape, so he would maybe hit me and then immediately I would start crying. And I felt like I needed to remove myself in order to calm down. The problem is he would ch follow me. I was going to say chase me, which is kind of, but I get into the bathroom or the laundry room or whatever, and I'm trying to do the breaths and I'm trying to talk to myself. And meanwhile, there's the banging on the door, mommy, mommy, mommy. And it is hard to really be able to do that. But what I really love about what you were saying, and I have done this too, and I don't care if the kids think I'm wackadoodle. I'm like, I am breathing in, I am breathing out, like saying what you're doing.
Yes.
In order to, and also praying. Sometimes yes. I'll pray out loud too. I'm like, you know, dear God, I am having a really hard time calming down right now. I just pray that you would help me. And I do it out loud so that the kids can see how I'm trying to calm myself.
Love that.
In order to better, you know, communicate with them. So that is really powerful, because when you feel like you can't, quote unquote, escape whatever is triggering you, you need to figure out some sort of coping mechanism in order to be able to be in that calm space so that you can then move forward and do something productive, like you said.
Yeah, that the P is shortened in sit and pray, because like one place we usually have a door that locks is the bathroom. So go to the bathroom if you have to, and it's okay if they come. I've talked about that. If they come and they're slamming on the door, you know, if you need to plug your ears, take the deep breath, you know, as long as you know that they're like, okay, you can leave them and they can bang on the door. Just like, okay, it's all right that they're, and I tell myself, it's okay that they're banging on the door right now. I just need to take this moment because it's safer for me to be on this side of the door right now than on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I need to take this moment to calm down. And then you start asking, what is going on? What, you know, what's the big picture here? Why are they upset? What needs haven't been met? And then it's another thing, we can really get into this negative thought of, this is my life. It's never going to change. And especially when we have littles, it totally feels so all consuming sometimes, but it will change. They will grow out of that stage. And the more that you start to practice this stuff now, I'm telling you from experience, I'm in the throes of it, the much better you will approach teenagerhood, right? As they're spreading their wings and you're needing to allow them to have autonomy, it really, really helps to have practiced this stuff when they're little. Although it's not too late, if you're listening to this and you have teenagers, or even if your kids have left already, you can go back and restore those things with your kids. Enya knows her story. She knows the story of how destructive I was. I don't hide it from my kids. They know they can come talk to me if they have any questions about it, or if it comes up in their life that they're struggling because something they picked up from mom. Communicating with our kids and letting them know that we're not perfect, we make mistakes, and when we make mistakes with them, this is how we recover in a healthy way, right? And recovery is something I like to share too, and that is, we need to take responsibility for action. So if we did blow it and we screamed at our kids or we did something destructive, we go back after we've calmed down and we say, it was okay that mommy was angry. We want the kids to know that it's okay to feel that. It was not okay how I reacted in my anger and that I hurt you with it. So please forgive me. So we take responsibility and we show our kids we're taking responsibility for our actions. And then we can ask them what was going on for them and help them process through their feelings, you know? And then if there needs to be any consequences, I always say it's after we've calmed down and we've taken responsibility, we've talked to them and validated their feelings to find out, then that's a good time to hand out consequences. And I tell my kids, if I ever dish out consequences in anger, they know it doesn't stand until we've walked through recovery, and then we'll talk about actual consequences.
Oh, that's really helpful, because I've done that too. I think all parents have.
Right?
Where you do the consequences.
You're like, you're not I didn't mean to say that.
Tablet for a month, you know? And then you're like, oh, wait, I didn't. That's not actually going to happen. Yeah. So, yes, right. I agree
with
that.
I've just established that with the kids in a moment where we weren't angry. I've just established, yes. Hey, kids, you know, if mama, for some reason, I lose it and I say something, it's not the real thing. I'm just acting out of anger.
Yeah, that is incredibly helpful. And this has been so helpful for me, just always wanting to have additional tools in my toolkit, you know, when it comes to, because it's something's new every day with parenting. That's something that we can definitely all agree on. And every phase and every stage brings something new. So I am grateful for you, not only for the work that you do and your honesty, but then also you as a mom of daughters that are, you're further along the path than I am, kind of giving me that hope for the future. So yes. I would love it. I know we're going to link the trigger tracker in the show notes, but if you could tell everyone where they can connect with you, that would be great, because I'm sure they're going to hear want to hear more about how they can deal with their anger, destructive, normal, or otherwise.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm over at nataliehickson.com. Not super active on social media, although I am on Pinterest. Same thing, Natalie Hickson. So you can find blog information, trigger tracker, all the stuff over there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Natalie. It was wonderful to talk to you, and thank you for your expertise and your honesty and just for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama, you're overwhelmed, in fact, but 30 seconds of your day makes such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words, they'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. In Apple Podcasts, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.